Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Paula Price Show, where you can experience revelatory teaching, get answers to your questions, and receive powerful prayer. Tune in now and get ready for an exciting time of encouragement and transformation. Welcome your host, Dr. Paula Price.
Well, it's another beautiful sunny day here in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Welcome to the Paula Price Show, Dr. Paula Price.
Well, I'm glad to be here, and yes, you're right, it is another sunny day. You know, Ashley, I think we should start stroke counting this. I think I find it so encouraging that Thursdays we have sunny days here in Tulsa. Now, I haven't checked the weather for the rest of the country, but I am certainly excited about that. But I think, what do you think? I think we should start stroke counting.
Works for me.
Hey, listen, Ashley, that's what I need to do, give you another job, right? That's just what
right.
You need. Give you another assignment as the producer of the Paula Price Show. You don't have enough to do, so I'm going to see to it that I keep you occupied. I want to keep it on your mind, you know?
Well, I consider it job security.
This is true. This is true. But listen, you have so many perks that I don't think you'll have to worry about that unless you completely lose your mind, and I don't see that happening yet. But I am so glad to be here. Hey, Ashley, we're just coming back from Illinois.
Yes, that's goodness. That's true. I mean, I think we pack so much living into one life, it's not even funny.
Well, you know, that's the beauty of working for the Lord and being enthusiastic about it. You know, I meet so many people working for God who are just feel like he has put imprisoned them to a life of bondage and whatever, that it's for a while I thought working for God was the worst thing I could do when I was coming up and in my early days. But I have to tell you, God is a lot of fun. He's a blast. We had an opportunity to be in Joliet with my other church, Antioch Christian Assembly International, and Apostle Nona Parker and Apostle Raphael Robinson and several other folks, the entire near team, near apostles, and my gosh, it was amazing. We had a blast there, and you're right, we packed a lot of living in a few days. It was such a fast-paced and exciting experience that we were like, when we got to, was it Sunday night? Now I'm trying to remember the days. When we got to Sunday night, I thought, my goodness, it's over already. We were almost pitiful, weren't we?
Yeah, we were. It was
kind of
sad.
I was excited about you because you guys drove. You know how well you all like to take the highway from Chicago. And so you all did the, what is it, 8, 7, 10 hour drive?
11.
That was a trip.
Wishful thinking, but it's 11. It's like a 10 and a half hour trip, but you do have to get gas, use the restroom, and have a snack every now and again. So it takes us about 11 hours each way.
I know it, but it is wonderful. And the beautiful part about it is that we get to have them again in a few weeks. They're going to be with us here in November at the Apostolic Summit, our annual Apostolic Summit. And the dates are...
Drum roll, please.
You know,
the dates for the summit are November 21st through the 23rd here in Tulsa, Oklahoma. We always encourage everybody to come in on the 20th. We have an orientation service in the evening, and we start first thing in the morning. And the wonderful thing is you get a certificate of completion if you participate in the entire event. So that's why we want everybody to be there first thing for that first session.
Absolutely. And you know what else? We also allow those who are in our credentialing program, our clock program that you're going to talk about in a little bit, we also allow them to use their time there, since it is so training intensive, to use their time there to earn clock points toward their either certification, license, ordination, or credentialing. And so that's one of the reasons why we have so many people who keep coming, because they're also getting certification credit. Those certificates count, and they get quite a few points from the Apostolic Summit and from our June Forum. Even those who are part of the program who are with us in Illinois, they qualify. Those are qualifying points. because our clock program works like that. So before I get into my thing, since I have stumbled into it, let's talk a little bit about clock. Ashley, tell them about clock.
Well, clock is a program, the whole program that you designed for that from credentialing to commissioning process. There are people who are coming into the training that have life experience. They have their own schools. They have their own ministries. And based on what they qualify for from the beginning determines how high up they can go. If you are not in a position to have a commission, then you don't qualify for the commissioning program. That kind of concept is still the same across the board for our education. And so if you do want that credentialing, we have the programs set in place that will progress you up the levels. You have to fill in the necessary paperwork for your application process. So you can't just say, well, this is what I want to do. We also need to know what is your life experience, what are your transcripts from other educational facilities, in order to see, again, what you qualify for in your training program in order to prepare you for whatever level that we're going to send you out in.
And so, and the reason that I say that is because I suspect we have several people who are looking for that kind of validation and certification and all of that, and that is something that's offered by NEARD, our New Era Apostleship Restitution Collaborative, one of the many things that we have. But I just thought, you know, these events are so powerful because we don't just do conference teaching. You notice they're not just going to sit there and, you know, take notes and all of that. These are working events. And so if they are working events, then we want to make sure that you, the knowledge that you gain, that you're going to use, that you get validation for it. And that's what CLOCK is. CLOCK is a validation, validating credential that says not only that God called me, but that I can manifest in every way he needs the reason he called me and the ability to do what he called me to do, as well as the competence to get it done well. You know, we often talk about that, Ashley, about how, you know, when we're in particularly charismatic ministry or word of faith or whatever you want to call it, I'm never sure, but in any event, when we're in that environment, you know, we are comfortable measuring things by anointings and giftings and talent and emotions and sentiments and reactions and all of those kinds of intangible, immeasurable, fluid things. But when it comes time for us to get a job done well, then we don't have a way of saying why something struck us the wrong way. We don't have words that are – we haven't popularized. We have them. We haven't popularized words that say, yeah, but you know there was this – other than error, which we don't even know how to measure that, but there was just something not quite on, or something just didn't ring true, or there were just so many erroneous applications of scripture, or so many mismatched situations with revelation. We don't have a way to measure that, and that's why we have CLOCK, and that's why people today are looking for more validation to say, but I am not like that. I did the work. I did the studying. I made myself available to God. I made myself a workman that need not be ashamed. So that's why I brought up CLOCK, and I'm so glad to see that you could explain it so well, Prophet Ashley.
I've been around a few staff meetings.
It sounds like you not only have been around a few staff meetings, you took a note or two.
We read a few things.
I know. You know, actually, they would be surprised. And then maybe not. Maybe our listeners wouldn't be surprised. But some of them would be surprised at how much training you all have to go through and that your training never ceases. You know?
Yeah, this is the lifelong education program we're in right now.
Well, you know, the education piece we've taken care of. Our training now goes onward and continues because we want to keep you sharp. So we need that confidence level up there, that current knowledge. We're always coming out with new products and new applications, and so we just don't leave it to the Holy Ghost to teach you. How's that?
We like that because, you know, we've discovered, Dr. Price, in many years of ministry, and I'm sure other people, whether they're in ministry or not, have discovered the same thing, that the Holy Ghost doesn't seem to sound the same in everybody. I'm not sure it's the same guy talking to everyone who attributes what they're hearing to him. Not quite sure it's the same voice.
I know. He's a kind of fickle character, isn't he? At least to leave with us. He's, you know, kind of a fickle, wishy-washy kind of guy that can't make up his mind how he wants to present himself and what he wants us to do. But aren't we glad that God himself clarifies truth? He said, if any man wants to do things my way, they'll know whether what I'm saying is of God or not. I love how Jesus says that. You know, if you want to do it my way, then you'll know that what I teach is of God. And if you are interested in doing it another way, well, nothing I say will make sense to you. But I'm excited about being here. I'm glad to be back. We're on the ground for a couple of weeks. And so I'm excited about that. Again, we want to encourage you who are planning to join us in November. Mark your calendars for the dates. And again, Ashley, you know I'm going to keep asking you the dates because I want to hear them ringing in the spirit. The 21st through the
23rd of November. It's the Thursday through Saturday before Thanksgiving every year.
Okay, and I like that. See, that's the thing. And I purposely set that because I figured no matter what the numbers were, the same time, same season every year would be there. So I'm looking forward to it. We have a lot of people that are signed up and are planning to come. Starting, I think, next week or the week after, we'll start having you hear from some of our summit speakers. In addition, we're going to give you some sound bites from other summits. We might even give you a sound bite or two from our Illinois summit. I thought that was amazing. God did some powerful things there, and it's amazing. Now, if you are an apostle or prophet, or if you're a senior leader, I'm going to leave it with that, because God uses the same Bible to speak in different directions for every one of his ministers and every member of his body of Christ. But if you are, you need to call over there to Antioch and say, I want to order that teaching. I want to order that series. It is an amazing work. Now, I don't know how they do it. I'm going on a limb. Maybe somebody will talk to you about it on Facebook to tell you how they do it. But I'm telling you that that is a worthy, worthy training for those of you who are interested in getting more information and more practical and functional information. So I'm taking a liberty here, slipping out on my little ledge, saying you should call over there to find out if you can get those teachings. If you are a trainer, if you are an intercessor, if you are if you have a prophetic company or you're going to be a prophet, my God, to get that now mind of God. And I'll tell you why you want to do that. You want to do it because of what I've been saying for the last several years. Knowing Jesus Christ as the shepherd of the flock is one manifestation of him. Knowing him as the bishop of our souls, that's another. Really great. Knowing him as the preacher of righteousness, you got it. We got you covered. And then knowing him as the prophet is a different manifestation. And as an apostle, whole different manifestation. And we have not taught the body of Christ enough about Jesus' various manifestations. Remember, he is God. That's the hardest part for us to live with. We don't mind printing it, wearing it on our arms, on our T-shirt, on our bodies. We don't mind that. But living with the reality that this single being is all in all is staggering. That is the problem people have. That's what makes Jesus the stumbling stone and the rock of offense. People are like, I just cannot believe that all power, seen and unseen, ancient, eternal, temporal, and everlasting, is in this one being. That's what the problem is with Jesus Christ. The stone, what human being? And he came to earth to become a human being. So what human being has the capacity? How is this man built? How does his mind work? What does he look like? How does he think that he can be in the moment, responsive and in control of everything, and yet way down at the omega of what he began back when he was doing alpha? And so that's a difficult thing. You know, a lot of people think, well, you know, the reason folks have a problem with Jesus Christ is because, you know, he's moral, he doesn't let you have any fun. Yeah, not so much, because a whole lot of religions have that. No, Jesus' issue is that he's the man who is God. And he's the God who became man. And that is a handful for everybody to deal with. And in addition to that, you can't reconcile him being the good shepherd and the judge of all. See, everything about Jesus is a contradiction. You know, if he's a good God, how come? You know, and so he lives under that, you know, that's a constant charge we levy against him all the time. Well, if you're all that great, how come? And so unless you are moving in those different manifestations of his mind, and you live completely aware of his duties and responsibilities. Because, see, we challenge Jesus on how he affects our lives. We don't challenge him on how he has to keep this thing going generation after generation after generation. It's the last soul to be born to say, I accept or reject Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior. Until that happens, this thing has to keep going. And he has to keep a measure of life and possibility, potential, faith, open, all of that alive for each generation and supply it. And so it's difficult to think a human being can do that. I mean, think how many scientists it took for us to figure out light. Let's think about how many scientists it takes for us to explain one simple anomaly, and this guy is walking around with it in his head. You know, I always say, Ashley, and I think you'll appreciate this, but I always say in many of my teachings, I mean, first, I can see why Jesus is a problem. I mean, that's an enviable position, because when people play God, they talk about playing God. They talk about killing. They're not talking about making it alive. They're not talking about perpetuating. We don't know how many universes, how many creations, how many worlds. And he doesn't just, you know, he's not just handling it. He embodied it so that it's expressing him. And that's the uniqueness of who he is. So when people talk about being God, they're only talking about killing somebody, wounding somebody, stealing from them, humbling them, destroying them. They're not talking about making life from nothing and causing billions of lives to enter and exit this planet, to thrive, to move, to think. That is an amazing thing. How God the Father did that with his Son, that's going to be people talk in the kingdom in eternity forever. Because this man, he's not just handling the world, and that's where we get stuck. He's the world, and all that God brought into existence is expressing him, and he is managing it the way a person manages their own body, and that's a challenge. So, yeah, I can see why he's difficult. He's a lot to deal with, and as much as you want to try to catch him off guard, you can't. As much as we want to say, well, you know, he's not this or that, you can't. You know, I think about all of the people who fall. Because the minute you learn God and then you get them out, you start swimming in the pool of unbelievers, and they start throwing those questions at you about God. Well, if he was God, how come this? And if he is God, how is that? Well, how do you answer this and that? And you get caught up in all of that, and their logic seems to make a lot more sense than your faith. People fall. You know, the church is in trouble today because they try to contend with folks who learned about the error. And learn more about their error than we learned about the truth. And as a result, you don't have enough. But I'm telling you, when you encounter this man, the resurrected Jesus Christ, I mean, he was a handful on the planet. That's why they killed him, because he was a handful on the planet. Today, they would never kill him, because he'd be a science project for infinitum. They're going to want to know why his spit opened up some blind eyes. They're going to want to know why his sweat was able to heal so many people. They're going to want to know why he just blinked his eyes and fed close to 10,000 people. See, now today he'd be a science project. We would have, the guy would be under arrest, locked up someplace, being picked at if he didn't use his godhood to defend himself. But back then, people didn't have that kind of knowledge. They didn't have that sense of experimentation and exploration. So they didn't examine the things that he was doing because too busy being locked in a religious mindset that wanted to destroy it. But today, if he showed up today like that doing those things, anybody showing up doing those things, oh, no, they not only will they be viral in a second, everything they did, because everything he touched would bring life. He would be packaged and pandered and peddled around the world, because just the fact that somebody can spit on dirt, make some clay, and open blind eyes. And then the other side is that he could just touch a person on the way to the grave and say, get up. And so that is hard to take. It is very hard to take, and it is a faith thing unless you encounter this man and meet him on his terms and on his turf. We talk about Jesus on our terms and on our ground, but when you're in his world, that's normal. Those are the menial things he does. Those are his incidental tasks. Because in his world, that's normal, because there's no death. So life has to happen, and there's no failure. Success has to happen. There's a loss, so gain has to be the norm in his world. And that's what this is all about. When we are Christians and we're walking around talking about, you know, you know, we're saved, but, we're, you know, we're not religious, we're saved, but we're not critical, and we're saved because we, but that's because you don't have a hope for your salvation. Because when you have a hope for your salvation, that hope has to have a location, a destination that you intend to reach. Because the purpose of hope is a destination. You're going to get somewhere with it. And so if you don't have the mindset of how this man's world works and how he built it to work, then anything you do and label Christianity works. But if you have a hope, and it's a real hope, a living hope, that's what he said, he begot us again to a living hope. If you have a living hope, that's a whole different mindset. Because now that's a mindset of converting to live, to move from living in one world to move into another. And we do it on very superficial levels every day, all our lives. You know, you move from one job with one mindset, set of rules and cultures, to another. You move from one state with one set of rules and government to another. You move from one country with its way of living and doing life to another. And you adapt to the new. And if you know you're going to move, what do? You train. You learn the laws. You learn the language. You learn the culture. You research. You explore. You investigate. Why? So that you can fit in. And all that God wrote in his word, however much it antagonizes others, all that he wrote in his word it was to give us his consciousness and a snapshot of the world that he built that predates this one that can't change for us. Even if we don't like how God lives, if we want to be where he is, we're going to have to change because they can't be like us. You know, just like other countries, no, we're sovereign. We don't have to be like you guys. Well, God is the sovereign of sovereigns, so he does not have to be like us. He already created an alternative for those with an alternative hope. See, God already has an alternative for alternative hope. Hell is the alternative hope. And then heaven is God's hope. So as we go forward and just answer our calls today, you know, this whole thing of why we have to do this and why is this so rigid and stringent. Nobody says that when you go to other countries. You get ready to go to, if you're ready to go to France, you don't go and say, well, I don't understand whatever. I don't understand whatever. I'm just, but I'm falling on because when I get there, I'm going to change that. You think? It's not going to happen. And you don't expect it to happen. But because we don't believe that this man, Christ Jesus, is alive, that he did what he said, that he rose from the dead, that he, all of that, because we don't believe it, we believe then that any claims made in his name are very soft claims, they're very fantastical, and they're not binding on us. Trust me, even if God lets you get away with living like hell all your days, his laws are binding on you in the afterlife. Now, you may say here, you may follow the law of man, but there, you follow the law of God. For the law of the law of God is the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. And the governor of creation is Christ. And we can take whatever we want to take and soften his terms and switch it, but that's not how I'm getting it. When you get there, you don't get an opportunity to say how you're getting it or how you're doing it. Nobody cares because they already know. Because they knew before you were born how you were going to feel. Somebody really cares about your feelings like that. What they care about in God's world is God. They care about his likes, his dislikes, his hopes, his dreams, his visions, his adversaries, his conquest, his history, his destiny. Everything in God's world is obsessed with God. Just like everything in this world is obsessed with darkness. In God's world, everything is about God, and it's all about Jesus. It's about Jesus any way you want to do it. And I mean, I don't care how you change it. I don't care if it's the littlest kid there to the oldest person. It's all about Jesus. They aspire for him. They clamor for him. They seek him. They want to please him. Just the way we act like a celebrity who's only going to be on top for 30 days, they act like that about Jesus every single day. Day and night. He does not have to win anybody's affection. He does not have to win anybody's attention, approval. That's not how it is. Because we are brought into a world that has already been built and has already for ages cherished him and reverenced him and celebrated him. So we're so not ready to be in God's world. We are so not ready to give that much of ourselves up. We are so unready to allow ourselves to have to yield to anything that is not putting us first or is not adaptable, malleable to our will. You know, I think about it when people talk about they want to move into, you know, ministry. I think one of the things that God kept saying, he said, but, you know, I got laws, and my laws work for me. Because the law of God in God's world is God. It's not a constitution that you go to and everybody read and sit around a table and read and argue and debate until the person with the strongest personality determines what is really interpreted. That's not how it works there. You enter something that's already working. So that you don't get a say. Nobody's, you're not going to go to the hall of the law of God in his world and say, well, you know what, I think you need to revisit some things because it's outdated, it's outmoded, it's antiquated. And they don't even have words like that. Words like outdated, old-fashioned, antiquated, they don't even exist in God's world because everything is now and everything's ahead of us. So they can't ever have anything outdated. Why would they have anything outdated? Nothing has a date. So that's a whole other thing. So that kind of language and that kind of rationale that we use to sidestep his righteousness, to dance around his truth, to just kind of give nuances of grace, nuances of good and holiness and all of that, those words don't exist. They have never existed. Those are words that he used to let everybody know what happened to earth, that it grew old, that when he pulled his life, this is what happens when I pull my life, you know. And we forget that. We act like the sun and the moon are the light of this world. They're not. When God, before he had the sun and the moon, he had light because he was the light. And so they don't have those words. So if you decided, well, all I know is that this is how I believe and this is how I think, that's fine. But then nobody cares. They really don't. They don't have to care because what they have been doing and living has worked. And you come from a place where nothing worked, a little worked. Actually, you come from a place where the only thing worked was Christ in you, the hope of glory. Everything else was flawed and faulty. So you realize it's a whole different mindset. And so everything that God is teaching us and trying to teach us, all that he wants us to do is for us to be naturalized citizens of his eternal world. Or better yet, celestialized citizens of his eternal world. Here we're naturalized. There they're celestialized. And so he's trying to make it so that we think like they think so that we can benefit from his world the way they do. But not because God feels like, oh, my gosh, I'm going to have to change. A whole new generation is born. And he says that I'm old-fashioned. Oh, my goodness. I'm going to have to drop my – oh, my goodness. I have to drop my fingers. I have to eliminate my – oh, my goodness. I can't even teach the law. Oh, my gosh, the Ten Commandments, they don't fit. Oh, what am I going to do about the Beatitude? Oh, God. Oh, Jesus, we got a problem. God doesn't – are you kidding? He's like, they'll find out. Because they're here, their words to play with, they're the actual essence of life. Because they're the culture of the king, they're the consciousness of the king, they're the constitution of the king. And because of that, they reign. And nobody questions them because everything that makes it there is also a replicant of the king. So your arm is not going to say it hates your DNA. Your arm is going to say, hey, we all one and the same. We have to feed off the same life form, the same life source. And that is what God wants us to get. That is how he wants us to think. So we can run around and say, well, I'm sorry, this is how I am. I like to have my clothes this way. I like to have my arms this way. I want this here. And that they don't have that there. You won't fit. You can tattoo your body from the head to the toe. Guess what? You're going to leave it in the dust. When you stand before God, the only tattoos that you're going to have are those on your soul from your belief system. And if they're useful to the king, you get in. If they don't, you go to the alternative. You can sit. We can argue all day long about whatever. But there, we don't argue with a constitution on paper. There, we don't argue with a scroll. There, we don't argue with a Bible. There, you argue with the person, the author, and finisher of your faith. And that's a whole different type of conversation. All of the conversations that you think you're gonna have, those are not the ones you're gonna have. Trust me on this word. There, nobody challenges Jesus because they are all deeply in love with him. As much as we dislike him here, as much as flesh, because I don't, as much as flesh dislikes him here, they are deeply in love with Jesus. They are built by his love. Scripture says in Romans 5 that he shed his love abroad in our hearts. In Ephesians 4, it talks about how God literally made us his family. He brought us into a family after whom all heaven and earth is named. So even we can talk about, well, that's all mythical. That's fine. That's how you feel. That's fine. Because to me, that's your alternative. But trust me, you're chasing, you're giving those very demands to something, whether it's money, your beliefs, your individuality, your independence, your prayers, that it's going to carry you through your life and qualify you to live in a world where Jesus Christ is Lord and nobody challenges it. He had one challenge to his throne and not another since then. So that is my, Ashley, that is my expectation for today. Hallelujah.
Well, that's all right. Give us those celestial classes.
Leave it to you to name it.
The duck. Yeah.
Well, you know, it's important because when you listen to all of these debates with these people, you talk about somebody who's 23 years old talking about, I believe in this because I feel it. You're 23. You don't even know what you're going to believe in tomorrow morning. You know, I mean, a lot of what we do is just flat out ludicrous. If the church is just an institution, it doesn't fit if it literally is comprised of an individual with a will and light and make up and build, et cetera. That's a whole different conversation. You know, you can have one argument about my book, The Prophet's Dictionary, with your friend, but you can have a whole other different argument with me about my book, The Prophet's Dictionary.
Well, yes, and we've seen both, so we know it's true.
So anyway, I wanted to give that exhortation because I think that it's time for the church, you know, and I call it an exhortation because it really is. But it's time for the church to stop thinking that heaven is going to collapse because they don't make it in. Mm-hmm. Heaven's not going to collapse. You know, we act like that. Well, man, if I don't get in, the angels are going to cry. No, they're not. They cried in Eden. They're not crying now. If they cry about anything, you know, if they cry about anything, it's about our loss and our ignorance to what we're putting at risk. But they are they're not crying, and they're not going to bypass Jesus. If Jesus say, you're out, and there's no debate, nobody's going to say, well, you know, Most High, well, you know, Savior, well, you know, Lion of Judah. Well, I was actually thinking, Lamb of God, that maybe we can. No, that's not how they do it, because in that place, it's final. Here, the only reason we get another chance is because we get to do something they don't get to do, and that is to leave a body that goes back to the dust to be recycled for the next generation. They don't have that. And that's what we're learning. So I decided that I wanted to share that today, Prophet Ashley, with all of my friends. And hopefully we'll start taking God seriously, because when people say, man, I have to start taking God seriously, they don't even know what that means. What does that mean? What does that mean on your part? What does that mean? Well, we have to start treating God like he's God. What does that look like? Most people say, well, if I were God, I would want to be treated like this. Well, you're not God. So let's find out what the guy who is God calls treating him like God. Let's find out what he found. And he said that. And so I'm excited about what we're doing. And you could tell I love the Lord Jesus Christ. I've enjoyed my training with him and my classes with him. But you cannot be an apostle and be utterly ignorant of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is an impossibility, not an apostle of Jesus Christ. Because the hallmark sign of an apostle of Jesus Christ is that they know Christ in a way nobody else can tap into it. Peter said, we have touched and handled the word of life. And more than just what's theologically popular in our books, in our classes, in our training, there is something that Jesus allows those that he is calling his sent ones to see about himself, to feel about himself, to experience about himself, that alters their perception of him forever and completely transforms them into his own alter ego. And that is a big deal. Well, anyway, Ashley, I had fun. Now, I guess I'll take a call. Do you think I should take a call? No.
Yes.
I think you should give me a commercial, and then I'll take a call so I can shift.
Well, we will take a commercial so you can shift, and then we will take Brian from Tennessee. He will be up after this break.
Absolutely.
Don't miss the annual Apostolic Summit with Dr. Paula Price. Join us for a weekend of explosive fivefold ministry training, apostleship branding, apostolic and prophetic collaboration, kingdom leadership, strategy sessions for the upcoming year, and so much more. If you are an apostle, prophet, teacher, pastor, evangelist, ministry leader, or apostolic student, then this event is for you. you will enjoy a variety of dynamic speakers during both the classroom-style sessions and the general sessions, as well as personal ministry and prayer. Call now to register and reserve your place. Special discounts are available. Call 877-419-1299 for more information or visit www.drpaulaprice.com to register today. Scandal, deception, secret affairs, misappropriation of funds, nepotism, promotion without training or experience. Sound like Hollywood or perhaps Wall Street? Unfortunately, this has become more and more commonplace in the body of Christ. As a result, many people have lost faith in their leaders and no longer trust those put in place to watch over their spiritual growth. It's time for God's ministers to take back the ground that has been lost and provide qualified, competent, verifiable leadership that His people can rely on. So what is the first step to making this a reality? The answer is ministerial credentialing. Credentialing attests to the qualifications, competence, or authority that a person has in a particular field. Diplomas, degrees, certifications, and licenses are all a part of credentialing. Though credentialing programs exist for pastors, teachers, and evangelists, there is very little available to properly credential apostles and prophets, until now. Dr. Paula Price, New Era Apostleship Restitution Council, and Kingdom Embassy University present CLOCK, our credentialing program that stands for Certification, Licensure, Ordination, and Commissioning. Whichever is appropriate for your calling or area of kingdom service, we have a program for you. Get trained and receive a certificate of completion or achievement, a license to perform or function in a ministry capacity, ordination to a designated ministry office, or commissioning to discharge an advanced professional ministry post. Take the first step today by going to www.ppmglobalresources.com and taking a ministry assessment questionnaire to find out where you fit and what kind of training you need. Be a part of the solution and make sure you are a leader that God and His people can rely on. Visit www.ppmglobalresources.com today. Are you a prophet or apostle? Is your desire to help God's ministers come into their true identity and calling? Would you like to make a supplemental income while still doing what you love most, serving God as His kingdom agent? Now PPM Global Resources offers an exciting employment opportunity for apostles and prophets. We want to employ you to do what God made you to do for Him. We work in the industry of ministry and want to bring the industry to your ministry. Imagine getting paid a regular income for doing what you already do. Think about doing more than prophesying or waiting for your next preaching opportunity to fulfill your calling. Now, PPM Global has created gainful employment positions for your mantle, just like pastors and teachers have enjoyed for ages. Sign up as an affiliate agent or independent sales consultant, and you'll be able to share PPM Global's unique ministry model with your associates and colleagues, and share the revenue PPM Global gains from your initiative. Or join PPM Global's team of advisors, coaches, and mentors, and take part in shaping the next generation of fivefold ministers for Jesus Christ. Wherever you fit, you'll enjoy the benefits of collaborating with PPM Global, including a means of increasing your contacts and income without increasing your workload, the opportunity to be a gainfully employed, bona fide apostle or prophet, the privilege of shifting the church back to apostolic and prophetic leadership, and the honor of placing God's people in their right purpose and destiny. Apply today, get trained, change lives, and earn more. PPM Global Resources. Explore the possibilities.
And we are back at the Paula Price Show here, and again, a sunny day in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Dr. Price, are you ready for your first caller?
I am. Didn't you tell me his name was Brian?
His name is Brian, and he is calling.
I was testing my memory, Ashley. You know that, right?
What'd you say?
I was testing my memory.
Oh, very good. Well, that's a good start, because he is Brian from Tennessee, and he is calling today on behalf of his sister. He said she is in need of a financial breakthrough. And so, Brian, welcome to the Paula Price Show.
Amen. Thank you. Hey, good morning. Good morning.
Good morning, Brian. How are you doing?
Hey, I'm doing great. It's truly an honor to be able to talk to you this morning as well.
Oh, I'm glad you called. And listen, you are my first caller, so that means you got me while I'm really good hot.
I'm good.
So let's talk about your sister. What's going on with her?
Just probably over the last maybe 7 years, she's just been kind of stuck in just a lot of different things, but definitely financially it's been just one repetitive cycle after the next as far as just financially. And it's been kind of like a combination of a lot of different things as far as not being able to get a job and just different issues with family. But it's like a repetitive cycle, though, concerning just financially.
Well, yeah, because all of those things guarantee a financial disturbance, you know?
Yes, ma'am.
One of the things that I want to ask you is your sister, from what I'm getting from the Holy Ghost right now, is somehow out of her place. Somewhere she either blew God off or she blew an opportunity that altered her destiny. What was that?
It can be probably a multiple of things. I can't really just pinpoint anything in particular.
Well, the reason I'm saying that is because I can pray for her, but the truth be told, she and God have some issues that they have got to resolve. Now,
gotcha.
Are you both are saved? Do you all belong to a church?
Oh yes, ma'am. I definitely do. She does too. It's separate, but she's saved and she goes to church.
Has she been faithful in going to church?
I believe it's kind of been off and on, to be honest with you.
That's what I thought. And the reason I say that is because she really, first of all, if you can find $65, I want you to have to take my assessment. Because I pick up that this girl is very prophetic and she's very terrified of it. I also see there's something in her past somewhere. I'm looking at about maybe between between 7 and 8 years old that knocked her off her focus, and she's not been able to find her way back in since then. I'm also looking at just a commitment that she made somewhere in her teen years. I want to say between 16 and 18 years old that literally solidified the confusion that she's in. So it seems like she gets up on her feet, she goes fine, and then she goes tilt again. She gets up on her feet, like she's going to make it, boom, she's tilt again. That tells me that this is a repeating cycle in her life, and that cycle has to do with some sort of covenant she made as a young girl.
Yes, ma'am.
So I'm going to pray for her, but if you are really concerned about it, her, and it sounds as if you are, I applaud you for being not just an intercessor when you're standing before God, but an intervener when you're standing between her and the solution. So if you are truly that committed to her, I need you to have her take that assessment. Now, right now, she's not going to want to because she's hopeless and she's frustrated.
Yeah.
But I'm telling you, you got through for a reason, because we get calls every week that we know. We just can't answer them all. And so you got through because God is ready to answer her question.
Yes, ma'am.
So my suggestion is that you urge her to take that assessment so that she can find out what God called her to do, because if she's reaching out to God, then God's going to answer. So she can find out what God called her to do, and then she can get an opportunity to talk to one of our advisors. They'll tell her how she can even get more time with them. But this woman needs to be brought back online step by step, stage by stage.
Yes, ma'am.
Because she's just taken one too many blows. I'm looking in her soul, and it is just so pummeled. And it's like all I see in there are rocks from all of the hardness that she's had to endure.
Yeah.
So that is what my suggestion is to you. I would suggest you have her do it, no matter where you got to go to find it. Let's get her back on point and get her back into God. Because I'll tell you something. You know, I love doing this show, Brian. I cannot tell you how much I love doing it. I don't care where I am in the planet. I tell them, set it up. I'm going to do my Thursday call because it means so much to me. But one of the things that I've learned is that God has honored me, that there is a real open portal, that I represent an open portal for people to hear God who haven't heard from him in years, and people to get answers from God who have not been able to get answers for years. Now, there's a whole lot of reasons for that. I really don't think that it's that important that I go into them. But I do know that if you're talking to me, God's ready to act in her life.
Absolutely.
So we're going to get her that assessment, and then she's going to get the advisement. And if she needs some more additional time, the advisor will tell her how to do this. But I'm telling you, this woman here, we're going to have to rebuild her from a long way back.
Yes, ma'am.
So, Father, thank you. Now, give me her name.
Siobhan.
Yvonne?
No, Siobhan.
Did she take the assessment?
You said, has she taken the assessment?
Yes.
No, ma'am. She hasn't taken the assessment.
Okay. Well, this is what I want her to do. And I want her to do that. And believe me, she's going to come out of this, but it's going to be a journey, because when you have taken as many hits and have fallen back as much as she has, you almost don't want to get up again. You're like, leave me alone. Bring me some water. Bring me a sandwich and just let me stay right here. Throw a blanket on me and just let me stay here. And so I believe that God wants her out. As a matter of fact, I can honestly say that with the authority of the Holy Ghost, at my discretion, I can tell you that God wants her out. So I'm going to pray, and then we're going to move her forward. How's that?
Yeah, that's absolutely.
Okay, Father, thank you. First of all, Lord, I thank you for being God. I thank you, Father God, for being merciful. You are a merciful God. I mean a sweet and merciful God. And so, Lord, I thank you for that. I thank you that you are also the God of all hope. And, God, sometimes we just need to start with infusing people like Siobhan with hope again. Lord, that we can begin to bring her back online to believe in life, just believing in life, you know, and believing in the goodness that life has to offer. So I thank you for that. And then, Lord God, I thank you for her brother Brian, who loves her so much and who cares for her so much that he's willing to be an intervener as well as an intercessor, fighting for her recovery, fighting for her restoration. And, God, as I pray for her, I issue upon him today, God, the intercessor's and intervener's reward, that a measure of her harvest, her breakthrough, reverberates back into his life at a time that he needs it most. And I thank you for doing it. Now, Lord, I offer up this young woman to you. And, Father God, you know the truth. You know the spots that we've just seen. You know the things that we've explored, even in looking in her life and looking in the tracks that her life has laid down. And, Lord, even the things that you have shown me in her soul, God, but you're a merciful God. And it's the mercies that we fall on today with her, God. We know that your mercies are new every morning, and they fail not, and because they cannot fail, Lord, every one of us has a hope, a living hope, a hope in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So I'm asking you, Father God, by your Spirit, to begin to breathe some life and to begin to kindle the fires of restoration and enthusiasm in her soul again. God, as she takes the assessment, you lead her and guide her. As she communes with the advisor, Lord, you commune with her, so that we will be able to, as a team, Father God, bring this lady's life back online, get her back into purpose, get her fully into purpose, and, God, to get her to shed these grave clothes and shed the sorrow that she's been carrying for so long. And, God, let her know that it doesn't matter who on earth doesn't believe in her, and it doesn't matter who on earth does not see any worth of value in her, that she is the work of your hands, that she is your handiwork, created in Christ Jesus for good works, that she may walk in them. So, God, if you created her for good work, then, Lord, then she has to work, because that's the word. That is what it means, that she has to have a work, not only a job, God, but a work that is commensurate with what you ordained her to do and to become. So I thank you, Lord, for causing her brother to seek us out. I thank you that PPM Global Resources is going to be a part of that solution. I thank you that our prayers and prophets are going to get her back in work and get her gainfully employed and fully restored. And, Lord, that you're going to deliver her from this cycle of sorrow and depression that just falls on her out of nowhere. And, God, if it means that she needs medical help, then, God, we thank you for medical help for her depression. If she needs nutritional help, then we thank you for connecting her with them. Because, God, one thing we want the body of Christ to know today, that is no single answer, and that often restoration is a complex of solutions and therapies that get the job done. So I thank you, Lord, that you begin to order this apothecary of restoration for her in the way that you know works best. And we bless you for doing it, and starting today, Holy Father, in Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Amen, amen.
All right, Brian, so I expect to hear from her. We want to see her come through, because I'm certainly going to have my prophets on the lookout for her. And we're going to see how we can get your sister back into the life of God.
Absolutely. Hey, thanks a lot. Thank you very much.
You're very welcome. God bless you. Bye-bye.
All right, bye-bye.
Amen, prophet.
Amen. It was good. Good to have good family fighting for you when you can't fight for yourself.
And don't you know, Ashley, we know about that because sometimes a lot of people made it because they had one warring family member. Don't let you get a whole bunch of them, but just one. One could chase a thousand. Every family can survive with one warring family member because they don't own, I mean, how many families have a thousand siblings? Come on now. So we know one warring family member can get you back on. But I pray all the time that that high priestly person in every family is recognized and encouraged because that's the person that's keeping it all going. Having said that, I'm ready for my next call.
All right, and I have one for you. This is Joy from Connecticut, and she is calling in today because she said, you know what, I need direction for my whole life. I just need to know what's going on.
People come over the bridge. They
got to
come
over
the bridge around Connecticut Boulevard.
Okay, what happened here?
Hi, you are live on the Paula Price Show. Can you make sure that everything behind you is turned down?
Okay, can you hear me now?
Yes.
Is it better?
It is. Are you?
Sorry,
I still hear maybe some traffic or something behind you, but that's much clearer.
Okay. Hi.
That's good.
Okay, hi, Joy. Don't you love the technology? You get to call me from the bridge. How's that? I love it. I'm telling you. How are you doing, Joy?
I'm doing okay. How are you?
I'm great. I'm great. How can I help you today?
I'm just calling because I'm trying to get some direction with my life and things I want to do. I want to relocate, and I'm nervous because, you know, it means I have to come out of my comfort zone. And so I just wanted some direction.
Okay. Well, first of all, Joy, what do you do? Are you talking about direction in your ministry, direction in your career, direction in your relocation? What are you asking God to do?
Well, actually in all areas, but mainly relocation out of Connecticut.
Is God telling you where to go?
I believe he's telling me South Carolina.
Okay. I hear Maryland, and I don't know why. So somewhere between South Carolina and Maryland is where your blessing is. And we're going to pray for God. I don't know if you know anybody in Maryland, but I feel like your harvest, as a matter of fact, I feel God is saying your open portal is in Maryland. Now, do you know anybody there?
No, I don't.
Well,
I know people in D.C., but not Maryland.
Well, that might be close enough, you know. We need to
yes.
find out why is he telling you that there is something there, and it could well be a job there for you, you know, because sometimes you don't have to know anybody for God to set it up. But when you started talking, two things came to me. Number one, that you need to go to school and finish some sort of training that you didn't finish. And number two, that Maryland is where your open portal is.
Okay.
So
okay.
Where did you go to school?
I went to a school in Connecticut. I didn't finish college, but I started, but I didn't finish.
Okay. Now, here's the thing that you have to realize, because, of course, you know, I couldn't know that except by the Holy Ghost. Here's what you have to realize, my beloved. Because you didn't finish college, the connections that you would have made to alter your life were never made.
Right.
And sometimes... Because when people go to, when we go to school, we think it's our idea, okay? But there are different connections made in everything we do. Taking the right job on time, going to school and completing it, going to the right school where God has already had the connections. You know, we often talk about, just case in point, I often talk about, and we give the testimony that the majority of the young people that are working with me today all came to Tulsa. To go to Oral Roberts University. Now, what did I know about Oral Roberts University? There was a guy on TV, he sang songs, was really wonderful, with a really beautiful campus. Okay? Every one of them was sent to all Roberts University. And they all came. And they all came on the year that they should have come. And if you were sitting around the table with them, you would be amazed how God made that happen. But because they came, and they came the year they should have come, which were different years, we all collided at the right time and began to do what we did. Now, that was almost 15 years ago. So I'm saying to you that one of the things that God needs you to be good at is finishing what you start, because for you, he has your blessings at the end of the buffet line. Because for you, completing is a big deal. So I'm telling you that where you're going to school, wherever you're going to school, and I do believe it's Maryland. God keeps saying Maryland like it's really important. But wherever you end up, God says to you, you're stuck because you don't finish, not because he isn't providing. It's almost like if God says that the number 113 bus is going to be here in 15 minutes and you leave in 7, guess what you don't get? You don't get the number 115 bus. Now, the bus came, and it stopped, and it was ready, but you weren't there. And so this is a new mindset that God wants to put on you, because some of us, and I say this together, us, because we all kind of came from the same thing, we heard so much about God can do anything with anybody, anywhere, that it makes, I call it reckless encouragement. And I call it reckless encouragement because it encourages you recklessly from the perspective that it negates all order and logic. It's irrational. It's illogical. But it also takes you completely off the hook for being a part of making happen what you want or what God wants to do. So here's what I would say to you, that reckless encouragement is what caused so many Christians to get off track. And if you all are listening to me, I want you to write it down. And when we're done, I want you to sit down when you get a moment, whether it's tonight before you go to bed, and I want you to sit down and list all of those cliches that amounted to reckless encouragement for you. Because those are the things that keep us making the same mistakes, making the same decisions, going around the same circle. Because there are times that people mean well, like they want you to feel better, but they give you reckless encouragement. Encouragement that you can do anything with, or encouragement that if you follow it, it's going to shipwreck your life. So that's what I wanted to say to you. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to pray. I'm going to pray two things, that God right now accelerates the connections that he's already arranged. Because you're going to meet somebody to make this happen. Because God works with people. So we're going to accelerate those connections. We're going to ask God to give you the hearing ear and a discerning heart to know that this is the it for you. We're going to ask him to provide all that you need to relocate swiftly.
Amen.
Out of connection. That is it. So let me pray. And can you mute your phone while I pray?
I'm sorry?
Can you mute your phone while I pray?
Sure.
Okay.
Okay.
Father, all right. Father, I thank you for Joy. Lord, first of all, I thank you that her heart towards you is still looking to the hills from which comes her help, because she knows, God, that her help comes from you because you are her Lord. So I thank you for that. Now, God, you have spoken the word Maryland to me. You've spoken school, so that means you've already set it up. So I'm asking that you order her life, her steps, her vision, her plans, her schedule, even her very wanderings as she comes into this purpose. I'm asking that you order them, that you take charge of them all, God, and cause her to connect with the people and the institutional organizations that will cause her to get on the track to destiny. I thank you, Lord, that when she meets them, that you are going to give her a special witness that she knows, that only she knows you give her when it's time for her to obey you, and that removes all doubt and all second guessing. So I thank you for doing that. I'm asking, God, that you make it plain to her. I'm asking that as she sits down tonight, God, and begins to talk with you and pulls out her journal and her Bible, that you walk her through the steps that you've arranged to get her to this point so that she would obey you, God, and then show her where she is going to go. Lord, every obstacle in her way, I remove it. Every barricade, every barrier, I remove it by the Holy Ghost in Jesus' name. And God, I break her through by the Spirit of the living God. I break her through, Father God, for your purpose. I loose her to destiny. I set her on the right path to destiny. And God, I give her ears to hear, eyes to see, and an understanding heart to comprehend this very pivotal time in her life. But then, Lord, We also lose her to the finances and the economy that she needs to make it happen. Even like Egypt, God, as she gets ready to leave, that you literally touch the hearts of those in her sphere of life so that they would have compassion enough to sow, to give, to donate to her relocation when it's time. And God, I bless you for doing it. Amen and amen.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
You're very, very welcome. Keep me posted because I'm excited about your future.
Thank you. Me too. I will.
Okay,
God bless.
God bless. Mm-hmm. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Ashley.
Yes, yes, yes.
You know, I have to call you to let you know I'm ready to go on because, see, I know you kind of – see, they don't know what you do back there in your little box of trips room. You have a whole box of tricks back there you're doing, talking to people, talking to callers, et cetera. So I have to call you and let you know. I'm ready.
You sure do, and that's always a good move. Okay. I have next on the line Jeanette from Alabama. There she is. And Jeanette is online today. She is calling about finances. Her husband got hurt on the job, and she wants to know what her place is financially and ministerially in this situation. So, Jeanette, welcome to the Paula Price Show.
Hello. How are you today?
I am fine, Jeanette, and I'm very glad that you called. First of all, you have a wonderful speaking voice. Do you do communications? Is that what you do?
I am a minister. I preach. I pray. I do it all.
You do it all. Do you all have a church?
I do. I'm in Magnolia Assembly of God here in the area that I live in.
Great. Now, how long are you the pastor?
No, I'm just a minister there, and I do women's ministry. Whatever God put in my spirit to do, I find myself doing it.
Well, that is great. Now, tell me about this financial issue. You say your husband was injured?
Yeah, he was injured on the job. He'd been on the job for 28 years, and he's getting ready to come into some finance. And it's like he's trying to shut me out of a lot of decisions and a lot of things that's going on. But God has shown me things in the spirit, you know, because, you know, I walk in that place. But the enemy here lately has just been trying to kind of throw me off, you know, trying to kind of just kind of make me feel a little doubtful, a little depressed. And I know it's the work of the enemy. And a friend of mine gave me your number. So I said, well, let me wait online and let her call and just speak into my spirit.
Well,
what
let
God
me ask
is saying
you,
for me.
Well, I'm glad that you called, Jeanette. Now, let me ask you a question. What started, what changed your husband's behavior toward you? What changed his attitude?
Well, you know what? It's been going on this way for years. We've been married for 29 years, and we have two children, two grandkids, and it's just what he got. Well, it's really well not had been going on. Well, when he got hurt on the job, he fell and he have an injury, and it's just like he just. I know he's withdrawing. Because, see, I'm a nurse. I can understand. You know, the withdrawals, because he had been working all his life. And now he's home, and he's just hanging out in places that he should, and he's not saved. And I've been believing God for his salvation. And one day I thought, you know, he had got in that place with God, and the Lord raised him up from a previous accident. He had to have surgery where he couldn't walk, and God raised him up at that time. And while he was on his bed, God gave me a word to give him that he had to make a choice. When he was going to raise him up, he had to make a choice. Either you're going to serve God or you're going to run back in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and I was just so excited about him. He said he was saved and got back up and ran right back straight in the world. And he's been in the world in the devil's hand ever since. And it's just been a battle with me.
Well, yeah, it would be, sweetheart, because you're talking about the darkness and the light. That's a real tough thing. And how long have you been saved? I mean, because you say you're
25 years, saved in spirit field.
25 years, and he just doesn't want to be bothered. He just is not interested.
He don't want to be bothered with it, but one thing, me in ministry, he don't mess with it. when I got to go speak, whatever, and if he can be, you know, help with anything, he's good at that. But as far as living a life for God, he's not going to do it.
Well, let me do a couple of things for you, a couple of things that I do know that has to happen. Number one, when people are with a person, like they've been with you and they've been and you've been saved and living the life, only one of two things stop them. The saved spouse makes it so unpleasant and uncomfortable, mm-hmm. unappealing. I'll use that word, unappealing, because that's a better word. The saved spouse makes it so unappealing that the unsaved person is like, I don't want it. You know, it seems boring to me, you know, because and that's
right.
where the saved spouse keeps saying, well, you can't do that and you need to fix this and da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Well, sometimes we can be God's worst salespeople. You know, we need him the most. We want everybody to get saved, but sometimes we can be God's worst salespeople. And so
right.
I'm not saying the case. I'm just giving you that's one. The second thing is that there is a belief system that's been sown in their soul that goes back a very, very long time, and it has taken deep roots so that this thing is literally blocking their ability to believe.
Mm-hmm.
And usually that ability to believe, and I've had enormous success with this over my 30-something years, it has to do with, I don't care if it's a religious thought, a religious experience, an experience with a religious person or
mm-hmm.
or theology, or even many times I found that it is just a question of logic. There is something about the gospel that is so illogical to them
mm-hmm.
that they cannot see the merits of it. And until God sends the preacher, and it's not always the same preacher, you know, because
mm-hmm.
sometimes you think, well, he should go to church and get it. No, no, no. Not everybody is coming up with the same logic and wisdom, because it's not one person who can do it. It's every member doing their share. Sounds to me like your husband is an intelligent man.
Right.
Who has a tenderness toward Christ and a tenderness toward Christianity, which he probably got from you, but there is a question in his mind about his own salvation that is blocking him from healing it. So what I'm going to pray, and I'm being honest with you when I say this, I've seen it again and again. I have gone to places where nobody goes because, you know, I'm one of those people, if God sends me to get one soul, I'm going to go get that one soul. I don't care where
that's
he is, I'm going to get him. But, you know, a lot of people don't. And so I've gone
that's
there, and I've held 6 or 7 days worth of services. And that last day, the holdout of the holdout of the holdout creeps in, and whatever word I say, and it's a different word for everybody, because everybody has a word that makes free. Everybody has a day of salvation. You know, I don't care if we think it should be the day we got saved. God said there's a day that that perfect storm, if you will, happens, where all things are in place for this person to get saved. God says that all the time. He says you have a day of salvation, a day that you can hear his voice, and a word
Amen.
That makes free. When all three of those happen, whether you're there, it could be in the bar talking to a backslidden Christian that'll still answer the question, because when God gets ready, it happens. And to me,
that's right.
I'm telling you, your husband has a little bit of the three, you know.
Okay.
And you're gonna have to back off some, because sometimes in our zeal and our eagerness, especially when they're doing things that we feel like it's discrediting our faith, you know, and discrediting our ministry, oh, we get
that
all
is
excited.
So, that is so true. That's me.
Yeah, and so which can make it so unappealing that it no longer becomes a matter of him and Jesus Christ. It becomes him and his wife. And so you're going to have to pull back and shut up.
Okay.
Now, I could say it differently, but since this is the Paula Price Show and they know my mouth, I'm just going to say it straight up. You're going to have to pull back and shut up. And you're going to have to let your light so shine before him. And he just sees the light of Jesus Christ in you. Because right now, you've got all of his guards up. You've got anger. You've got offense. You've got hurt. You've got embarrassment. You've got castigation. I'm going on. Because we do that as spouses when you think that you are the Holy Ghost. You're not the Holy Ghost. You can't save him.
That's right. That's right.
But you can make it appealing for him to want salvation. So you stop talking about it. Stop preaching.
Okay.
Just shut up. If he asks a question, answer that question and shut up. Here's what I want to say. Let me say this to you, beloved, because this is what I had to learn. And I'm saying this to you. You're a minister in your church. In your your home, you're a wife. Be a wife. Now, hear me. I want you to hear me because I just said something that has yet to land in your psyche. In the church, you're a minister. And you guard the faith of the righteous and all of those kinds of things. In your home, you're a wife.
Okay.
And you're going to sweeten up as a wife. And you're going to put your clergy collar away and you're going to put on your negligee.
Amen.
Okay? And you're going to learn to be a wife. Because let me tell you something. If you made it a lot more appealing, we wouldn't be having this conversation today.
That's right.
So I want you to do that for me. Because his day, he's coming up on his day of salvation. And the last thing you want is to be in the way.
That's right.
So I'm saying you really have the peace. Because you are a sweet lady. And but you love your husband so much. You love your God so much. You want them to meet. And they won't meet because you're in the way. So you are the third wheel in this thing, okay? So they have me there. But go home and mean what I say to you because I had to learn that. And I tell women everywhere, if you're in ministry, you have a husband, be a wife at home because that's what home is for. Home is for domestic and matrimonial issues.
Amen.
For ministry. So, and if he asks you a question, just answer that question and hush. Don't add to it. Don't start saying, see, that's what I mean, bringing him back down memory lane, all this stuff. Don't even do that. Just answer the question and
Amen.
Shut up. And then be a sweetheart. Be a sweetheart.
Amen.
Now listen to me, because, see, I know you like to do, come on, listen to me. I want you to hear me, beloved, because there's some changes that I'm making in your husband as we speak. But here's what I want you to do. I want you to be a sweetheart.
Okay.
Be his sweetheart. Because God said, love conquers all, and love never fails. Now, if it doesn't fail strangers, how much more can it work with husband and wife?
Amen.
Just love your man. That's all. He only needs that. And let God do the work. Can I pray for you?
You can. Amen.
Father, thank you. Thank you for Jeanette. Lord, thank you for her love for you, her concern for your house and your sheep. And God, I thank you, more importantly, for her love for the husband and wife of all these years. Lord, let him feel and meet her again as the wife of his youth. He doesn't know, God. He doesn't know what happened to the wife of his youth. Now, Jeanette, I need you to stop talking. I need you because I know you like to get, I need you to stop talking and let me pray because you're going to miss what I'm saying. Father, I thank you that he meets again the wife of his youth, the wife that touched his heart, the wife that warmed his soul, and the wife that made him want to be a single man. I'm asking you, God, that she learns to pull her out of the closet, that she begins to minister to him, not as a minister, not as a preacher of the gospel, but as a wife who is in love with her husband. And, Lord, show her how to meet him today as they are today. This is not a prayer that they go back to the dating years. This is a prayer for them to reconnect today, God, as husband and wife in the kingdom. Your word says that he's sanctified by her faith, and God, let her use that. And, God, let her not forget that she's wife. And she has access to him and access to his soul like no one else has. And, Lord, let her use that wisely and prudently as she begins to make her salvation an appealing thing to him so that he will listen to the messenger of the gospel you send and really embrace you as you are and as he needs. And, God, bless her life, bless their home, bless their children, even their children's children, God. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. All right, Jeanette. Now you can talk.
Okay, amen. I thank you so much. You describe me to a T. That's me.
Well, I'm hoping that, listen now, Jeanette, you know what? When this is over, you can download this on your computer and just play it again just for you to remember the wisdom because God's got so much for your family.
Amen.
God bless you so much.
Thank you so much.
Mm-hmm.
Bye-bye.
How are we doing,
Prophet? Thank you, Lord. You know, we just never know what's going to fly out of your mouth on this show.
Guess what? I don't know that I always know, you know, because we just go with what we do what the occasion calls for. You know, that's what God said to Samuel. Do what this call rather. Do what the occasion calls for. So, you know, right now the occasion calls for us really understanding why our family members are stuck. Because there are a lot of family members are stuck because we're just too preachy, you know, or we're just too pushy. And I mean, we all have it, you know, on some level. And they're like, well, if that's the Jesus, I don't want that. And if you go in with, you know, when you get saved, you got to stop, and then you can't, and then you never. Well, come on now, that doesn't sound appealing to anybody. I mean, come, if we were selling cars, nobody would buy a car if we sold it like that.
No. No. And the most we can tell people is you have to wear your seatbelt and you have to have insurance.
If you get this car. Because you know what? Can you imagine? Now, listen, this is a late model car, but you can't drive it like you drive that old car. Now, this here car, now, you listen, you won't be able to sit in it like that. Well, this car won't turn like that. Well, this car can't do this, and you can never do so and so. By the time it's over, they're either going to get rid of you or the car. And if they really want the car, you guess what? You're going to be sitting in the car while they're making the decision. And so I think that we can be better salespeople of the gospel. Especially when with people who are close to us, because sometimes when we know too much about people, we use too much of that to try to appeal to them, but it often backfires. So, do I have another caller?
You do. You have another Floridian on the line, Cynthia from Florida. She is new to the prophetic, and she had asked some questions about the summit, but she would just like some prayer today. So, Cynthia from Florida, welcome to the Paula Price Show.
Hello, Dr. Price. How are you?
I am wonderful, Cynthia. How are you, and how is Florida?
Florida's beautiful. It's beautiful here. The weather's wonderful here.
Yeah, I know. Just make me feel bad, but that's all right, because Tulsa's holding on this month. You know, we don't know what next month is going to give us, but this month, it's holding on. It's holding its own.
Yes.
God bless you, sister.
God bless you. I'm calling you today because I need training. I need someone who is mature in this gifting of prophetic. God is working on my life majorly. And walking alone with this, I need more understanding of it. Yes, I'm in school for Bible, you know, Bible college is one thing, but when the anointing of God is on your life as strong as it has been here, I need the balance. And I've been trying to go to apostles, people who say they're prophets. I've went through the fivefold, and they're not understanding what I see, how I see, how I could take pictures and see, you know, different. It's an old thing that God is doing a new way, because He doesn't change. And I need someone that can help me to understand where this type of anointing, where is it to be used in the body to help the body.
Amen.
I'm very humble in this, you know. I'm just looking for direction.
All right. Well, let me talk now. Cynthia, let me ask you a question. Did you already take my assessment?
I tried, but I took it on my iPad, and all the answers kind of went away on me. So I'm just waiting for them to set me up to take it again.
Okay, so my office knows that you're going to take it again.
Yes, I emailed them.
Okay, great. Glad to know that, because you know they'll track down what happened and all of that stuff. And so if they haven't gotten back to you, I'm sure they're trying to trace what happened. But here's what I want to tell you. I want you to take that, because you have to, no matter what I tell you, Cynthia, right now about who you are, you need to read it. You are a very intelligent woman. You are very analytical. And because of those two things, you're not, that's why all of this here not going to be a help to you. So that's number one. Number two, I want to say to you, when you take it, all right, when you take it, you're going to get your advisement, and you're going to get an advisor. Now, they're going to offer you one of three programs, and the program that you want is the mentorship level program. That program is where you need to be, because what you feel is so normal, even though it's abnormal to you because it's happening to you, it is very normal to how God awakens and begins to get prophetic vessels accustomed to him. So what you're living is as normal for anybody who's been there as it can be. But someone who's coming in, it's strange. And you feel forlorn sometimes. You feel confused. You feel like you almost feel like you're haunted, because God can literally haunt you. It's interesting how we like to say that, you know, that we call Jesus the Holy Spirit because he's a gentleman, but there are times he acts like the Holy Ghost. And he acts like a ghost, you know? When you get in, he may switch on his spirit guard. But, baby, when he's trying to get you, he haunts you like a ghost. And he is very good at it. So you're feeling that pull from God and that awakening. As much of what you feel happens to be making you aware of God, it is also God restructuring your inner person for the future work he has you to do. That's the second thing. Now, I want to speak to this Bible college. I am not, tell everybody on the line, listen right now, because, you know, saints go out and say backwards things about me. But let me tell you this, I am not against Bible college. You need it. I cannot deal with a saint who doesn't, especially, particularly a prophet who doesn't know the Bible. You want to lose my respect? Be a prophet that doesn't know the Bible. How are you going to talk for the government? You don't know government. Come on here. So I'm for that. But let me tell you, there is a contradiction.
Yes.
You're going to have to either finish Bible college and move into your prophetics, or you're going to have to be prepared to have a constant tug of war. Now, what we have found in our mentorship program is that we have advisors who help you balance the two. You can finish that Bible college education, which I think is needful, and you can still balance it using it with this prophetic development that you need. You do need the prophetic development. So that's the unique thing about PPM Global. We don't tell you you need to give up your theology class. No, we don't, because that's what's out there. That's what God is raising you up to deal with. So we're not going to tell you to give it up, but we are going to help you not to lose your prophet's mantle and lose sight of your prophetic abilities and aptitudes in the midst of it. So we're going to give you that balanced scale. So you definitely want to connect with us on that level, because that's what's going to help you. And our prophets are very good, because, see, they've been to college too. So our prophets are very good at helping you sort through and extract the prophetic elements of that generic Christian education. So you're going to love it. There's everything. Listen, we have everything to make your life work. So you're going to finish. They're going to get back in touch with you. I'm sure that if you haven't heard from them by, you know, tomorrow, because they're pretty sharp, I'm sure that if you haven't heard from them by tomorrow, give another call. But do this, since you don't drag your feet on it, because this is where God is. God won't let you go because he's trying to get you in a place.
Yes, ma'am. Because I even got so overwhelmed that I felt like if I could just, you know, I'm retired, you know, and I felt like if I could just put it on the shelf and just try to, you know, live the retired life, maybe it won't be so strong like this.
No, not the
one. It's to the point where it's revelatory. It's a gift where if someone's around you, they're being delivered.
Cynthia, I'm going to stop you because I know where you are, but I also know that you need more time than I got to give, and you need more ear than I got right now on this show. So that's why we're telling you, when you call, now listen to me, when they offer you the program, I don't know who your advisor is going to be or any of that.
It was going to be Ashley.
Okay, well, there you go. Now, how did you get Ashley as advisor if you didn't finish your assessment?
I wrote you on Facebook, and you told me to contact Ashley, and I don't think y'all remember me, but I couldn't get back in touch with y'all. We kind of disconnected from one another, and I tried to explain to her on the phone about the anointing, but it's so multifaceted that if you don't know the prophetic, you would think, whoa, you know.
No, we're cool. We got this. But let me tell you about Ashley. Ashley is the one that's going to tell you you're going to do it by the book. So if you think you're going to circumvent with Ashley, that's a lost cause. Ashley is a genuine apostolic prophet. She is not going to let you down. I'm telling you, I know how she is. She's been with me all these years. Now, there are other people that will sit there and talk to you and listen to you forever. Not Ashley. Ashley's like, until you're in a program, we have nothing to say. So now that you, and since you called her out, she's going to call you back. Don't worry about it. Ashley is a finisher. Trust me on this word. So she's going to finish. But trust me here, baby, you do need to finish it because she's not going to talk to you like that. Yeah. That's not how she does business. Each advisor sets up their practice, their coaching practice, the way God gives it to them. That's her. So if you want to go and ask her, let me tell you right now, just a little secret, you will not. She is not going to let you drown her in your experiences because she wants to develop. So those are two things you probably need to know. And since you called her name, I'm going to help you out. So call her when you hang up. Call her, tell her what you're doing, and listen, follow the program. Because I have a lot of prophets, but Ashley is the one who's going to be going to hold the protocol.
Yeah.
And that's because she's very apostolic. So you're going to have to kind of, you got the right one. Well, maybe not. I don't know. But we'll pray about that.
Thank you.
I have to give you somebody softer. I don't know. But anyway, glory to God. We will work with that. Cynthia, I'm glad that I finally had a chance to talk with you. I know where you are. I promise you I do. We understand more than you think where
and
you
I
are.
Come from, I come from, my mother, she went with the Lord in 2004, and it's almost like, I almost feel like I'm turning into mom. You know, she had all of that.
But now I'm gonna hang. I'm gonna have to go on because you know, see, because I know what you are. You're so full that you're like a fountain that just keeps flowing all over. So I'm going to teach you how to regulate that thing and bring that thing under. It doesn't have to rule you. You can manage it. And that's what we're going to teach you, how to manage this thing. Because God is huge. God is vast. And trust me, I wrote a dictionary. I wrote 60 books on it.
I got the dictionary.
So trust me, I know you can manage it.
Yes.
Okay? So we're going to show you how to do that. So here's what I'm going to do. Let me pray, and then I'm going to turn you loose to Ashley after the call. Hallelujah. Okay. Father, thank you in Jesus' name for who you are. Bless you, Almighty God, for this woman. I love, God, that you are calling us right on time. And Lord, I thank you for Cynthia. I thank you for your making yourself known to her. You're awakening her. But now, God, we thank you for the disciplines that are going to cause her to be competent, that's going to cause her to be credible and reliable, God, and cause her to really tap into this thing in a way that she's only dreamed. So I thank you for that. I thank you for her advisor and her relationship with her advisor. And, God, most of all, I thank you that the good work that you've begun in this powerful woman, you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ and until that day that you will use her mightily in your kingdom and in your word. And I bless you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Amen. Thank you so much. God bless you more.
Talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye.
Okay, Prophet.
Oh, yeah, I'm here.
I like Prophet Protocol. You know that's you, right?
Prophet Protocol. Oh, God. That's true. Can I tell you what? And one of my advisees is laughing at me on Facebook right now because he knows that's true, and I said that to him too.
But you know, why we run into this though, Ashley, and it's such a beautiful kind of double-edged sword, if you will. We run into this because we're a business, and people think we're a ministry. We're a business for ministry, but we're a business. And so ministry, well, yeah, we're going to jump right in and God bless you, bless you, whatever. Business, we have to set up according to how the business model works. And so most people on the line, they know I'm Dr. Price, who is the apostle, but what they don't understand is that I'm also the head of a company, and our company operates different from our ministry. So there's a great difference between the two. So when they call, they want, you know, they don't realize we got to put you in the context of the business agreement for us to minister to you. Now, I've had people, just while we're on the subject, I think, actually, this is a good time for me to mention it, but while we're on the subject, you know, many times people are saying, well, I don't think I want to pay for mentorship. But you pay for coaching. But see, paying God's people is where folks get stuck. See, we don't mind paying for that coach, for our job, for our company. We don't mind paying that professor in university. We don't mind paying the trainer to help us coach us through our tests or tutors. We don't mind that. What we mind, and that's because Satan has so conditioned God's people to think God is not worth it. that they will literally get mad because we have a business that we run to help you get ready for ministry. But now if you go to a Bible college and pay tuition, nobody has a problem with that. You see how we have to work this out? So while we're on this subject, we are PPM Global Resources is a business. It is not a ministry. And we operate as a business. Our profits, our staff advisors, whatever about their contractors, they're all independent. So they all have their own independent business. And so you all need to recognize that when you come, we're doing for the body of Christ what needs to be done, and that is getting you ready for the King's business. Now, if that's marketplace, if that's church, if that's social service, if that's international, it doesn't matter. We just get you ready for the King's use, meet for the Master's use. But we do it because we are a business. And so people, they get upset. I don't know why we have to go through this. Because we are telling you that we're offering a service as a business. We do the organizational assessment as a business. We invite those of you who are apostles and prophets to consider becoming advisors or applying your coaching business to this, to what we do. But we are a business. And that is why when people call, and they want to talk to the advisors, they immediately want to give their testimony and give their experiences. That's what you do for church. That is what you do for ministry. That is not what you do in a business. Business, we're on a clock. We have a lot of clients. We have a whole lot going on. There's a structure that we're not accustomed to because we have been able, gifted by God, to take what has heretofore been treated as intangible and unmanageable and unmeasurable, and we brought it into a standardized uniformity that allows it to be replicated again and again and again with quality, with validity and credibility, as well as with accuracy. And that is a gift. I take what God has given us with these assessments as an honor and a gift, but we are still a business, and we have to be good stewards over that. So our advisees, and we have a number of advisees. Our advisees are not dealing with a pastor. That's why we don't ask you to leave your church. You're not dealing with a prophetic company. We don't ask you to leave your prophetic company. We're not even trying to tell you to leave your mentor. We're saying that we're equipping you to answer your call, fulfill your destiny with knowledge, competence, and confidence. The same thing any other developmental entity would do. And that's why I think that's what she kind of misunderstood about you, Ashley. Then, you know, because she was, you're the prophet. So everybody knows prophets are not in business and prophets don't do business. And that's the model that God has given us, and it has changed. And I think that's why she didn't know where to go with you, Ashley. But see, I know you're a business person, and I know that you are Sister Protocol.
Prophet Protocol.
Prophet Protocol. And so I think it's going to be great. I think you got yourself a good mentee there. If we can get her signed up and get her on board, I think we got something good going on there with her. What do you think?
Oh, absolutely. I do remember our conversation, and she was sharing some of those things with me. But, yes, I was like, let's just finish that assessment first.
See? Got to go by the door. You know, you got to come in by the door. So for those of you who are listening and you're interested, we are here for you. If you haven't taken my assessment, go to drpaulaprice.com, click I want to take an assessment, take my assessment, and go there and take it and finish it. When you do, you're doing this, creating a relationship, a business relationship in support of your ministry. I want you, if you can't get it, wrap your head around it, think about it. Write it down. You're creating with PPM Global Resources a business relationship that supports your ministry or your career, because it's not just ministers here. We also have marketplace people here who are doing different things. But you are creating a business relationship. You know, so when we start talking about this is the system, these are the procedures, you know, we don't expect that in ministry. We don't expect procedures. We don't expect systems. We hardly expect order. But in business, we do. So I would invite you all, take your assessment, DrPaulaPrice.com. Find out who God wants you to be. But listen, we don't leave you to go it alone. You don't just hit submit and we abandon you. You hit submit, and then we go and we start enabling you to connect with the advisor, the prophet advisor, or the apostle advisor, because we have both, who is most suitable to you. You get someone that you're compatible with and someone who can walk you through a program, or maybe not on a program, maybe just an encounter where we just interact with you as we advise you along the way. We have several ways of doing it, but you are going to engage us as a business. We partner with you as you pursue your ministry or excel in your ministry or transition or elevate. So there's a lot to offer. I'm excited about that. So, Ashley, I got one more call, and then we'll have announcements.
All right. We have next up on the docket Crystal from Florida, and she is calling because she is a single mom, and she needs wisdom in making better decisions for her life. Crystal, welcome to the Paula Price Show.
Hi, Dr. Paula. Thank you.
Hi, Crystal. And where are you calling again from?
From Florida.
Oh, see, I thought it was Florida, but I didn't want to believe I got two black Floridians in one day.
Oh. Yes.
You know, I got to get back down there to Florida. You know, I really miss Florida. Now, here's what I like. I like Florida this time of year. You know, July and August, it kills me. But this time of year, oh, my gosh, I love it. How
yes,
are you doing?
Really
how can I, it is, isn't it? How can I help you?
I'm doing great. I just was calling in because I'm your Facebook friend, and I saw that you were having a call in. Basically, I'm a single parent of two kids, and it's like I know that I have a place in the ministry. I've always felt that way because people don't connect with me well. Like I have even had somebody a week ago say that I died and had a funeral. It's like people are so envious of me, and I just want to know how to get through this life of being lonely, basically. Yeah. It's a lonely life that I'm living, but I'm grateful, you know.
Well, let's explore this a little bit, Crystal, because I'm concerned. Now, you said somebody said what to you a few weeks ago?
They had a rumor out that I died in a car accident, and they had a funeral, and nobody came because I had so many people who did not like me.
Maybe this was a dream? Somebody
no.
Asked?
Somebody said that, and then the girl was like, that her spirit came to me, and I know she died. So it's just a lot of warfare.
No, baby, you're not going to gloss over that with me. Let's go back. I need to find out the validity of what you're saying. So you're telling me that a friend of yours or an associate, or can I say associate, an associate of yours, put out that you died?
Yes.
Okay, and then you said they had a funeral?
And she said they had a funeral for me, and I was cremated, and nobody came because I have so many enemies. So many people don't like me.
All right, that's fine. Now I want you to answer my question. I don't want you to keep reiterating the story. I'm going somewhere. So.
Okay.
All right, I'm serious. This is important. This is crazy, so I need to deal with crazy right now. Okay, so who is this person to you? How do you know her?
I knew her from a life, when I was in darkness, I would say.
Okay, so she's an old friend from your old life.
Right.
Okay, now how long have you been in Jesus?
For about 3 years now.
Okay, so you 3 years in Jesus. Come on, work with me. Don't get impatient. Don't rush me. Because I'm stuck. I got to answer questions. So you're in Jesus 3 years. So you cross paths with an old acquaintance.
I didn't cross paths with her. They called my family members asking, did I die? And
So they called your family members. They asked your family member, did you die? So where did the funeral piece come in?
I have no. That's what I was trying to figure out. I don't know.
Because, you can't have a funeral without your family member. So either she's lying to you to aggravate you or you misunderstood her.
No, it wasn't a misunderstanding.
Okay. So I had to walk that. So she imagined a whole funeral. Did she attend the funeral? I mean, is that why she said it? Because she clearly went to somebody. I'm trying to get this. Come on, work with me, girl. I'm trying to get this. So she clearly went to somebody else's funeral.
She's saying somebody told her that it was a ripple effect of a rumor. That's what it was, a ripple effect of a rumor.
Okay, well, you know what? This is one of those things that we're probably not going to make sense out of today, and so I'm going to move on to my next song.
Yeah.
But
okay.
Help me, Lord. You know, the saints need salvation sometimes. All right. Now, how old are your children?
They're 4 and 6.
So you got babies. So you got 4
yep.
and 6. Now, mm-hmm. you said you've been saved 3 years. Where do you attend church? I mean, do you? No, I don't want to know the name of your church. Do you attend church?
Oh, yes, I do. Yes, ma'am.
And how long have you been in your church?
This church I've been in like a year. This church.
Okay. A year. And how many other churches have you been in?
One other church before this one.
Okay, so that's good. So you know, you're working with God. So listen to how this is going. You are saved 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
You have 2 young children, 4 and 6. You've been in your church for a year. Now think about that. Everything about what you're telling me is very early in your walk with Christ.
Yeah.
So that tells me that there is something you did in your other life that before you got saved that feeds into depression.
Yes.
Now that's what it's telling me. Now somebody else, my other listeners may have it too. I got some really brilliant people that said listen in. But to me, you did something in your other life that feeds into depression. And you struggle with depression, which means you probably need to see either some sort of nutritionist for a holistic program or some sort of medical doctor for something. I don't recommend medical treatments for things like that. That's a Paula Price personal. That is not all. That's just me because I don't know how we can, you know, knock one part out to work with another. But then again, you still need the test. You need to find out what is causing you to be depressed because what you're describing is not right now because you're in Christ and you love ministry and you love the Lord. It's showing up. You are intellectualizing it as a ministry issue, but it is not.
Mm-hmm.
You, whatever you did in your other life, I don't know if it was drugs, if you had a heartbreak, I don't know what it is, but I can push through it, but we don't have the time for that today. But here's what I want you to know. You need to go to at least a nutritionist and maybe a medical doctor because what you're dealing with is depression, and because you voice it the way you do, the enemy is taking full advantage of it, causing you to feel rejected.
Mm-hmm.
It's too early. You have only been with Jesus 3 years. That's way too early for you to feel like he doesn't have anywhere for you to go. What he wants you to do right now is to learn of him. He said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly heart. You need to learn of him. Now, I need to find out, are you close with your pastor or do you have a mentor?
I sort of kind of have a mentor that we meet with on Wednesday mornings, yeah.
Okay, now is this a one-on-one mentor or is this a mentor?
No, it's a group mentor.
A group mentor. Now, how did you connect with this group? Tell me a little bit about it.
I connected with this group. What drew me to this group was their children's ministry. So, and that's why I started attending here. But it's a great place to be.
Okay.
Yeah,
so what you
I used to be depressed, but I'm coming out of it now. I feel like I'm being healed through the blood of Jesus.
That's fine. Listen to me, sweetheart. I hear you. But let me tell you something.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I am not a clinician, and I'm not pretending to be. I am the voice of God. I am God's messenger. I have pastored for over 30 years, so I do have that little bit of background. But I'm not a clinician, and I'm not pretending to be. But I'm telling you that I used to have a problem with that, and I'm telling you that depression, because it has organic basis, and it does have organic basis. You know, I don't care if it's a vitamin deficiency, I don't care if it's poor nutrition or whatever. And most times it's simply that. And so what happens is when you come into Christ, that thing flips and it starts talking religion and it starts talking spirituality. And because we have all of this wonderful, you know, I'm healed by the blood of Jesus, we've got our chant and we have our mantras and all of that kind of stuff, because we have all of that, we think we heal. Now, I'm telling you, by the Holy Ghost, you have a nutritional deficit. You need to see a nutritional doctor, and your chemicals are not where they ought to be. And they are masquerading as ministerial rejection and abandonment and neglect, and that's a mask. That is not real. You are going, listen to me, you have a call. And I will tell you all day long, you have a call. I would encourage you to even go to take my assessment to tell you exactly what that call is. But all of that is fine. I'm telling you what I know. This is a common thing that trips up Christians because we come into the happy time gospel. And the I'm okay, you're okay, we're all okay, hey. We ignore that we still have this treasure in earthen vessels. Your treasure, the beautiful thing that God has made of you, the greatness that God is going to use you to do, you are a good 8 to 10 years out for God to use you. You need to be serving in your church, ministering, learning God, reading the Bible, etc. But I'm telling you, even with that, my beloved, and I say this to you because I'm looking down the line, I'm telling you, you have got to watch your diet. You have a nutritional issue. That's by the Spirit of God. You have a nutritional issue that is masquerading as showing up as this on-again, off-again emotional sadness.
Mm-hmm.
And it has to do with an abandonment issue that goes way, way back. Now, I don't do that kind of therapy, but I do have folks who do, who are on my team. And we don't have a problem referring you to the folks who do it on my team because I stay in my lane. But I know what I know. And I'm telling you, this thing is trying to trip you up so that you don't finish with Jesus Christ.
Wow.
So,
could you refer me to somebody?
Yep, if you call our office, we will talk to some of the people we know, and we will see how we can help you get both that development in Christ, but to stay in Christ. Because, see, there's a whole lot of therapies out there that's going to take you right out of Jesus Christ. And so, you know, we're not trying to do that. That's why we are always looking for Christian, especially apostolic and prophetic coaches and counselors who can help you with this. But I'm telling you, we have some people, and I will refer you if you call my office, 877-419-1299. And I'll say it again, 877-419-1299. But that is still not going to stop you from needing to go to have your nutritional health examined. Because I'm telling you, this is a two-edged sword for you. And I can see that this thing is trying to talk you out of Jesus Christ. Now, you don't hear it, but I hear him. I hear him under your voice.
Okay,
so now I want to pray. I'm so glad you got through today. Just think, I almost was not going to take your call. Look at that. God is so ready to work with you, my beloved. See how much he loves you? He loves you with an everlasting love, and God is going to set you free. Now, I'm a pray for your liberty, but we're going to get you in a place that's wholesome, because I'm very concerned about this thing. I hear his voice, and I'm telling you, I don't care how much you quote and chant, that's not the end of this thing. So, Father, I want to thank you for Crystal. Lord, I thank you for who she is. I thank you for bringing her this far. God, I thank you for wrapping her in your arms. God, I thank you for even saving her life when she was a baby, God, and helping her get through these struggles. This has been a challenge for her from the time she's been on the planet. But I thank you, Lord, that you're in her life to stabilize her, to order her footsteps in your truth, and, Lord, to connect her with people who will keep her with you. Now, God, I'm asking that the spirit that's working her in the night seasons that's trying to program her, God, I cancel that assignment on her life. I speak to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I command you to cease and desist, and I evacuate you from her soul. Now, God, even though we remove the spirit, I thank you that we connect her with the therapies that she needs to be made whole in you, Jesus Christ. God, I thank you that she comes to the revelation that we all had to come from, that we are spirit, soul, and body, and we need treatment for spirit, soul, and body. And God, that you have messengers and ministers who who do both or all three very well. So, God, I'm connecting her to in Jesus' name, and I'm asking you to lift off this burden of her and, God, to give her peace but also patience, to let her know, Jesus, that you're not a sprint, but you are a slow, long race, and that, God, she can come to the finish line if she races according to your rules. So I'm thanking you for doing that. God, visit her life with friendship. I command the spirit of isolation and alienation that dogged your heels to depart you, and I open you up to friendship, and I open you up to camaraderie, and I open you up to people with a hearing ear and compassionate heart towards you. Now, Lord, I'm also asking that she connects with a mentor that gives her communications and social skills so that she knows how to be friendly enough to attract friends and to retain them. And now the last thing I do, Father God, is I cut a path off. I cut this thing off from you in Jesus' name, and I set you in the sphere of Christ in newness of life according to his word. And bless you for doing it, Father. Amen and amen. Now, did you get my number so you can call later on? And just call us later this afternoon because we kind of wrap up after the show. Call us later this afternoon, and we're going to see if we can find some way to get you connected to somebody who can help you in these areas, because I'm your spiritual. I'm going to give you that spiritual insight, and I know it, and I'm clear on that. But I'm telling you this much, you still do need somebody to help you walk in this newness of life in Christ Jesus.
I have that number.
Did you get my number?
Yes, ma'am, I have it right here on the paper. Thank you.
All right, and listen, we're going to come against, I come against that depression on you, because that is a trick to take you out of Christ.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah, amen.
All right, so don't forget, I expect to hear from you. You know, don't hang up the phone and let that thing be trying to tell you whatever, because he's not in you. He's just floating in your airspace right now.
Okay.
All righty?
Yes, ma'am. Thank you.
Thank you, too. God bless.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Wow.
Okay. Are you unmuted?
Oh, yeah. I'm muted, but I am still rendered speechless. That was good.
Well, you know, Ashley, the wonderful thing about being who we are and mastering it, you know, I thank God that God brought me up through the ranks. He brought me up through the evangelist, the pastor, the teacher, the prophet, all the way up through the ranks, as he did with, you know, with Jesus' first 12 and John 6 that he got. But I thank him for that, because then you're not just stuck as a predictive messenger. You know, so many prophets are stuck in predictive messaging or information discovery that they cannot tap into those other things that God, now not all of them, because there's some powerful ones out there. I've met them and some I will meet. But most of them, many of them, particularly the younger ones and the newer ones, we get locked on that future telling, and we get locked on that predictive messaging, that so to the point that we cannot get into that diagnostic realm. And I thank God that that's something that he has given us, even here and with the assessments, PPM Global Resources, with the Prophet Advisor staff that we're building, and team, which is a better word for team that we're building. I thank God that he did it, because it's that diagnostic edge that fuses the prophetic with the priestly. And that's something that we have to start doing. And because it's not enough, and it's not enough to say, you know, that's the devil, because to me, even if we have this treasure in earthen vessels, then we need to look for the organic as well as the pneumatic side of an issue. And we have to all do it. And so I'm thankful to God for that, because when you come into God, you love him so much. He's such a refuge. He's rescued you. You love him. He's just great. And you want to just jump right in to help him. And we can't always do it. As I wrap up today's call, because I know we're coming down to the wire, I want to say this, because it's so important. Just because you get saved, I don't care how successful you are in the world. I don't care if you are a high surgeon, and I don't care if you are the head of state. I don't care if you are the head of your town. I don't care what your position is. If you've not given equal amount of full-time service to learning and practicing and excelling in the Lord Jesus Christ, you can't make a lateral move. And so many people feel like because we've had this pastoral dominance so long, and everything is about church, we feel like you could just jump from the world of darkness into the world of light and just keep on going without any transition, without any development. And we've taught people that. I mean, how many times have we heard so-and-so, well, we got this big person who's saved in God, and he just got saved Monday, and he's running our ministry on Tuesday. Why is he running your ministry on Tuesday? He doesn't even know your devils. He doesn't even know that some of his devils are your devils or that he's bringing them in to your ministry. He doesn't know the mind of Christ, the spirit of Christ. There are so many things, intangible things, so many pneumatic things, spiritual things that you have to know to succeed in God. And it goes beyond the mechanics of laying hands on somebody and saying something in tongues and thinking that's it. We don't even know whose tongues you're talking. Nobody's proven these people. Nobody's tried them. We just turn around and say, wow, we got a big fish, so it must be good. That fish could be full of disease. You don't even know it. That fish could be full of parasites and viruses, bacteria. You don't even know it. All you know is that this is a great big fish. You take a picture, show everybody you got this huge fish that you caught. But do you come back and say, you know, but when we cut that thing open, it was diseased on the inside. And sometimes we need to recognize there's a reason why we need the blood of Jesus purging us from all sin. Purging us for a reason. If you spent 30 years serving Satan, serving the world, serving the flesh, and you get saved today, you don't shed that. Just like if you did 30 years of drugs, you don't shed 30 years of drugs like that. You don't shed 30 years of a criminal mentality like that. Just because you have come into Christ, you still have to learn from the principles, the first principles of Christ, and we don't require that. And that, my brothers and sisters, take time. It all takes time. You don't learn Jesus Christ overnight. And the fact that he is God of gods, going back to how we opened this discussion, the fact that he is Lord of lords and God of gods, and that he is the consummate embodiment and encasement of everything, you don't learn this man overnight. You don't learn anybody overnight. You know, people who run away, just meet on a date and go and get married, all they did is circumvent the process of learning each other. But their first phase of marriage are not going to be building a union. It's going to be discovering and learning each other. And that's what we don't do in Jesus Christ. I will tell everybody out there, God does not have a man will give you a lateral move, but God will not give you a lateral move. He will still put you through the paces. You still got to work your way up the ranks of his celestial realm. Now, on earth, we may celebrate you all day long, but trust me, according to the scripture, the trials of life that ought to try you to see to it, if you stay with Jesus, see to it, if you're going to jump ship, see how you react in trials, see how loyal you are, how you will defend him as opposed to abandon him. All of those are normal processes and procedures, and we need to stop telling people that they're not. And just because you did it in darkness does not mean that you don't have to be tested or vetted in the light, because God has his own program. It has been a wonderful show today, Ashley.
Yes, it has.
I want to thank you for the great calls that you have given me. I had fun today. I had fun every week. But, you know, every week is different fun. It's not the same fun. So we have enjoyed you. I want to tell everybody out there, thank you for joining me every week. I love each and every one of you. Don't forget you can download this later. But we're going to wrap it up today with some, Ashley, I'm sure, has some final closing remarks and our announcements. Until next week, God bless you and be powerful in God.
Yes, indeed. I have Prophet Adia here on the line, and she is going to close us out with what we need to do once we're done with the Paula Price Show today.
Wow, wow, wow. It's all I can say about today's broadcast. If you are as speechless as I am, I hope you still have at least one note of conversation left in there to join us online. Dr. Price is on Twitter at Dr. Paula Price. You can tweet all your thoughts about the Paula Price Show today, hashtag Paula Price Show or hashtag Paula Price Post Show, and we'll be talking about all of the tidbits from today's program. You can also join Dr. Price on Facebook, www.facebook.com/Apostle Paula Price. You can subscribe to all of her updates. You can post on her wall and even send her messages. If you're part of the LinkedIn crowd, Dr. Price is on LinkedIn. LinkedIn. So you can also catch her under Dr. Paula Price at www.linkedin.com. So we want to hear all about your thoughts about the Paula Price Show. We're going to be keeping our eyes and ears out for the post of the week and the messages on the of the week. So don't forget to join us online. We will see you on Facebook, Twitter, or LinkedIn. God bless.
Support the Paula Price Show today. For as little as $15 per month, you can help us expand our reach across the globe, ministering to hundreds of listeners weekly. Show your support today by visiting www.drpaulaprice.com and clicking the support button. Make a one-time fee or sign up for a monthly subscription. That's www.drpaulaprice.com. Click support and enjoy Dr. Paula Price in your living room.